I'd like to reflect a little bit on the third chapter of John's Gospel. You know, the church during the Easter season features John's Gospel, and this one is of extraordinary importance. It's dominated by the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. And I'll read you just now the opening line. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus at night. I'll stop there. The motif of light and darkness is a very important symbolic theme in John, because Jesus is the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness does not comprehend it, all that. Night stands for spiritual darkness. It stands for a certain ignorance or a shutting down of one's perspective. That's why, for example, when Judas betrays the Lord, John says very laconically, "And it was night." He's gone into a place of spiritual darkness. So here, Nicodemus, who's a ruler of the Jews, it says, meaning a, you know, an intellectual leader, he came to Jesus at night, so he's in the spiritual darkness to some degree. But he's getting something, because listen, he says to him, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one can do these signs you're doing unless God is with him." So he's in the dark, but he's starting to get what Jesus is about. Then comes this famous line, and any Christian, you know, has to wrestle with the meaning of this. "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Amen, amen.'" So it's serious business now. When the Lord says, "Amen, amen," this is really important. "I say to you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above," this translation has. The Greek word there is anothein, and it can mean either again or from above. So we speak of being born again. Here, born from above. Now, what does this mean? So this figure's in the dark, but he's starting to see something. And then Jesus says to him, with great seriousness, "You can't see the kingdom of God without being born anew, again, from above." Well, see, what's being described is something of enormous spiritual significance, namely what Meister Eckhart called the breakthrough. His German word, Durchbruch, they think was actually a coinage of Meister Eckhart. Breakthrough. The moment when a higher world breaks into this one, when the realm of God, the realm of the supernatural, the realm of the divine life breaks into this world, resituating it, shaking it up, recontextualizing it. It's the breakthrough of grace, to use more Catholic language. Think here of the short stories and novels of Flannery O'Connor. They're all about this moment. They're all about the breakthrough of grace. Now, in her stories, it usually results in someone rejecting grace or being close to it. Nevertheless, something has happened that shakes us out of our complacency, shakes us out of our orientation to this dimensional system. Now, put in more spiritual language. The world, what's sometimes called the flesh in the scripture, refers to the preoccupation with wealth, pleasure, power, and honor. Those four things I've spoken of many times before. The world of our ordinary experience, our ordinary goals, the things that we think will make us happy, the things that we're interested in day to day. You get out of bed in the morning, you're thinking about, well, wealth, pleasure, power, or honor. I'm after those things. That's the world. That's nature, if you want. Anything wrong with it? No. The Catholic reading is that nature in itself is good, but grace builds on nature and transforms nature. There's a breakthrough of a new world, the world of God's life. And here we speak of the theological virtues, faith, hope, and love. What's faith? But now living in the realm of God, under the aegis of God. What's hope? It's now the ordering of your life to a transcendent good beyond this world. What's love? Love is the divine life. When the divine life breaks in, we're invaded by faith, hope, and love. What's the result? We are born again. We're born from above. A new perspective, mind, vision, way of being breaks in. Now, nature remains, but nature is transfigured. Now my wealth I might see not as an ultimate goal, but something that I can use for God's purposes. Pleasure is now transfigured, elevated for God's purposes. Same with power, same with honor. It's the same world. Yeah, I'm not snatched out of this world, but now that old world is completely transfigured. Think here of the image I've used before of Jesus getting into Simon's boat. Without being asked, without seeking his permission, Jesus simply gets into his boat and begins giving orders. He reorders the life of Peter. Or think of Jesus saying to Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. Without being asked, he tells him, I'm moving in. That's what it means to be born again or born from above. And that's why everything depends upon it. The trouble is we get stuck in the narrow confines of nature, of the world, of ordinary experience, and then we never really live. Notice, please, how Nicodemus, like many people, doesn't really get this at first. It takes a transformation of consciousness to get it. Nicodemus said to him, how can a person once grown old be born again? Surely he can't enter his mother's womb and be born again, can he? Well, see, what he's doing here is he's translating spiritual language into the language of ordinary experience. Now, mind you, a lot of religious people do just that. That's a real danger in religion, is that we take the symbols and metaphors of the spiritual order and then we translate them down into the language of ordinary experience and we thereby miss them. We don't get what's going on. Jesus answered, Amen, amen, I say to you. So again, we're serious business. No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What's born of flesh is flesh. What's born of spirit is spirit. Well, now, water and spirit, our Catholic ears pick up baptism. What is baptism but being drawn into a new world? You now become a child of God, not just a child of the world. Right? Of the Spirit, well, what's the Spirit? What comes to us in confirmation, what comes to us in the Eucharist, in the other sacraments, the Holy Spirit, the divine life. See? Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you're lifted up into the divine life, you won't enter into what Jesus calls here the kingdom of God. God's way of ordering things. God's way of seeing things. That's why it's so dramatically important. And notice, please, what's born of flesh is flesh. What's born of spirit is spirit. Don't, by the way, Platonize this. The Bible is not a Platonic text, meaning down on flesh, up with spirit, as if like this body is the problem. Biblical people don't think that way. They're not Platonists. The word flesh here is being used as kind of a metaphor, a symbol, for that constricted world of nature. So what's born of flesh is flesh. What is born of that world is of that world. What's born of spirit is spirit. Spirit now will contain flesh, will elevate flesh, will bring it up into a new context. See, that's the right relationship between flesh and spirit. And then how wonderful. Don't be amazed that I told you must be born from above. The wind blows where it wills. You can hear the sound it makes, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. It's wonderful, isn't it? Because the wind, today's a windy day, by the way, when we're filming this, and we've been hearing the wind rattling the windows. I was just out a while ago in the wind. Where's it coming from? I don't even know. It's windy today. Where's it going? I don't know. It's mysterious, the wind. So with the Holy Spirit is, I don't control this. If I'm in the world, I'm in the flesh, I can't control the Spirit. I can't summon it, make it happen. No, there's a Durchbruch, right? There's that breakthrough. Something has come into my world and changed it. So with the Holy Spirit. I can learn to sort of ride that wind. I can allow that wind to fill the sails of my life. But that's the breakthrough of the Holy Spirit. I love, again, Nicodemus answered and said, how can this happen? And Jesus says to him, you're a teacher of Israel and you don't know how these things happen? You see, he's teasing him there or mocking him a little bit. You claim to be a spiritual teacher, but yet your frame of reference is still this world. In fact, what you're doing is you're taking my spiritual language and you're rendering it worldly. You'll never get it, you know. That's the need now to be born again. Now, listen, as chapter 3 goes on, though, it's fascinating. Chapter 3, verse 16 now. For God so loved the world that that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. John 3:16, the famous quote. But you see how it fits in, though? It's part of the Nicodemus speech. God loved the world so much, the world, the cosmos, right? This dimension, that he sent into it his only Son, that he might turn the world now into the divine life. He might divinize the world. And so the being born from above is a gift from God, given by the Father as he offers us the Son. And its purpose now is to draw us up into the divine life. Once that happens, we see everything different. We feel everything in a different way. We have different aspirations. We understand our lives differently. We see with the eyes of Christ. Wealth, pleasure, power, honor, the goods of the world remain, but now they are transfigured by the wind, by the light, by the Son of God, who's broken into our lives. See, and that's the whole spiritual life. That's the whole spiritual order. We can pray for it, and we should. You know, if like Nicodemus, we're in the dark, but we're intrigued by Jesus, great, great. Then pray, ask. The wind, I mean, blows where it wills. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know where it's going, but ask for it. And see, when it comes, I'll use good Catholic language here. When it comes, cooperate with it. See, there's the point of Flannery O'Connor's stories again. Is again and again, she says, grace breaks through. Grace breaks through. Notice, please, too, painfully very often, because this world becomes very set in its ways. Grace, boom, will shatter something. But when that happens, cooperate with it. Get on board. Open the sails so they might be filled with that breath, with that wind. That's why this text is so important. Unless you're born from above, you're not going to get this kingdom that Jesus speaks of.